Well, as Scott introduced me, I am Ben McCurdy-Wilsey, and very quickly, I would also like to update some of you on what has been going on in my life, because I actually started at this church when I went to Black Hills State University, and then this church was generous enough to support me as I went through seminary, and so I did actually graduate from seminary this past June, and now I have since moved back to Spearfish, and I'm working at the Canyon Hills Center with Lutheran Social Services, which has been an amazing experience so far. And also just a little tidbit that you may or may not see me terribly much in this church because for the time being, I am filling in up at Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church up in Lead as they are without a pastor. So I'm actually there every other week for the next few months. So that's a little bit of what's going on, which I just wanted to update you all on, since this church has been so wonderful in supporting me throughout my journey. And so today, I want to introduce a concept to you for the most part. This is something that I like to think about to help us understand a little bit more of Scripture, a little bit more understanding of God and how all of that works, and especially as an introduction to the upcoming classes that we will be sharing together. If you choose to join my class, this is just a little taste of what we'll get to do, because I like to really dive into Scripture as a means also of teaching you how to understand Scripture from your own perspective, through your own lens, as we will talk about today. So that, for me, is one of the starting places of how to read the Bible, not just that there's an appropriate way to read the Bible all around, but that there is a certain way that each and every one of us reads the Bible. And so this morning, I offered up those three scriptures as some of the more common lenses, I think, of where people enter into the Bible. That's ultimately where this starts, is whenever we read any sort of scripture, there's really one place that I think each of us enters into the Bible that we then view the rest of scripture and ultimately the rest of our faith life through that lens. And so to start with, I offered up where I actually started initially years ago in my Christian life of how I viewed all of Scripture. And that is the, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I would submit that this is probably the way that most people, not even just most Christians, but most people understand Christianity. This is essentially the idea that we all have blame, we all have guilt, we all have this thing that we carry around with us called sin that we need to be cleansed from, and that this separates us from God. And that is where people view the rest of Scripture from, that everything that they read comes down to that we have this thing called sin that separates us from God. And so we'll get into that a little bit more once I get through all of these lenses. So that's one of the lenses. And as I started thinking about this more, I realized that I was moving away from this lens, and I kind of went through a phase where I viewed Scripture through this second lens. And that's partly because this whole concept of where we enter into the Bible was introduced to me by my wonderful professor, Dr. De La Torre, who uses this second lens to view his faith life through. And ultimately, it all comes down to that phrase at the end that says that Jesus has come to give life and give it abundantly. This means that anything in our faith life, anything in Scripture, must fulfill this commandment that Jesus came to give life and give it abundantly. This is a concept that we explored immensely in my seminary career. It's a really popular thing to talk about at ILIF. And it ultimately comes down to that there are two different directions that we could head with this. That there is life-limiting theology and there is life-giving theology. I really love this concept. That there are certain things that limit life. And we can mean that in a very literal sense, or we can mean that in a very metaphoric sense. Or there are things that are life-giving, things that open us up, that expand our life. Basically, things that allow us to love more fully, that allow us to experience life more fully. I love that concept. It's just such a beautiful concept. Life-giving theology, as opposed to life-limiting theology. Excuse me. And so then I move on to my third lens, which is actually where I have landed. This is essentially the source of what you would call liberation theology. I'm kind of an intense liberation theologian at this point in my life. And so, of course, I get to talk the most about this because this is the one that I get the most excited about. So this scripture in Exodus that we read is the burning bush moment. It's when God first talks to Moses. And I actually think of this as God's introduction to the Hebrew people. Because we actually have Genesis that comes before Exodus. It's true in our Bible. But Genesis, it's generally understood, was written during the Exodus as the people were wandering the desert and kind of remembering some of their past. And they wanted to remember some of those stories, so that's the point that they wrote those down. But being slaves in Egypt for a number of years, they had kind of forgotten those stories. And so they had to be reintroduced to who God is, who their God is, I should say, and what God was all about. And so this little speech that we get from God, that's just this snippet that we read this morning, is essentially God's reintroduction to his people. And so he starts with, I would argue, what is the essential characteristic of God. And so in this, we hear that God has seen the suffering of his people, and that he is choosing to free them from that suffering and offer instead to them an abundant place, a life-giving place, you might say, instead of this place of suffering and slavery. And so for me, this means that whenever there is something that is holding us back, something that we could refer to as slavery or suffering or grievance, that God's place in our life is always, always, always to remove that from us, to free us from this. And I think that's such a beautiful theology, that for me is the lens that I view all of my faith life through. And so you could also argue that each lens has its own things, its own oversights, the things that it looks past, and that's okay. It's not to say that this is the only way that we view life, that we view Scripture through, but this is where we start from. This is where we enter into the Bible from. And you could even say that our faith life is incomplete without parts of all of it. And so I actually want to explore all of these concepts through our other Scripture that we read this morning, this Scripture on baptism. Because I actually think that these three work really well together through this story of baptism. And so this first lens, you might view baptism as that we have all sinned, we all have this blot on our soul, you might say, that needs to be washed away. And so through baptism, we are washed clean of that sin that is separating us from God. That's a wonderful, wonderful theology, and it's very freeing for people who are walking through life with this thing that's just holding them back, with this grief. And so then we also move on to the second lens, which I think starts to open us up just a little bit more, that baptism not only washes our sins away, but it also opens us up to greater life, to a more fulfilled life, to more life-giving theology. And then I would say the third lens, at least in my opinion, opens us up to moving outside of ourselves a bit more. Because not only does baptism free us from what is holding us back, from those things that are our masters, that we are slaves to, but that we can then offer freedom to other people through this gift of baptism. And so this morning, I simply would challenge each and every one of you to consider, where is it that you do enter the Bible? Where is it that you look to as your lens for viewing the rest of your faith life through? This can actually be a very important thing, not only for us, but because other people that are outside of our churches, people that aren't even Christians they would identify as, they all have their own lens of what Christianity is. And in my opinion, a lot of the people that are out there, and even some of us in here, start with a God who is an angry God, a vindictive God. And if we aren't sure what our essential characteristic is of God, perhaps we could fall into that. And that, I would say, would be a very life-limiting theology. That would be an unhelpful theology. That would make us slaves to this sort of theology. As opposed to, of course, we could be freed from that. God could be a God of forgiveness, that our sins do not any longer separate us from God. God could be essentially forgiving. Or, of course, God could be essentially life-giving, that instead of our faith holding us back in our lives, that God opens us up to greater life. And then, of course, the third option, or perhaps the third choice, one next to the other, is that God opens us up by freeing us from whatever's holding us back. God is no longer allowing us to be slaves. God is freeing us from any form of oppression, and he offers us the chance to offer it back to others, that we offer them a God who is always, always, always the God of the oppressed, that God is always on the side of not the people in charge that are oppressing other people, but God is always the God of the people who are suffering, of those who have grievances. And so may it be today that you may figure out what that lens is, figure out where it is that you enter into your faith, enter into the Bible, your starting place. And then may it be that you may start to figure out how that works into the rest of your life, how you are affected by the lens that you are looking at your faith through. And ultimately, may it be that you remember that all of these are true. May it be that you remember that God is always forgiving. God is always life-giving. And God is always on the side of the oppressed and the downtrodden. May it be so. Amen.